Hello and welcome to another episode of the IAAF Inside Athletics Podcast, and we're back for season two. Yeah! You may hear in the background, I am Ben Harlow, welcome, and you may hear the other voice with me is none other than Katie Smith.
Hello.
She's back again, honestly.
It's like I've never been gone.
It's been a long 7 months, maybe?
Yeah, must be, about that.
Yeah, I don't know, but she's back again. Thankfully, she's finally decided she has time for us again.
I couldn't keep away then.
Nah, I don't blame you, to be fair. But yeah, so we're back again for season two, 2019, and there is so much to talk about. And this episode is going to be better than ever. Just in the coming weeks as well, we have got so many brilliant interviews lined up, so I can't wait for you all to hear them. This week's main guest is none other than World Under 20 Champion in 100 and 200 metres, Brianna Williams. As well as that, we're going to be recapping some of the stuff that's been going on with the World Indoor Tour in Boston, and then we're going to preview ahead. We're also going to reflect on some of the results that have started to come in now for the 2019 season. This time of year, I always get so excited because you kind of forget how much you love athletics.
Oh, it's such a buzz, isn't it, when Boston came on last week and I just thought, oh, it's beginning. And there's something special as well about championship year.
And also, we're going to be touching on the Laura's nominees, where Jakob Ingebrigtsen, Brianna Williams and Eliud Kipchoge managed to sneak onto the list. So stay tuned. Okay, we stop that now. Okay, first of all, before we properly begin, I just wanted to say a quick thank you to everybody who has been listening to the IAAF podcast throughout all of 2018. We managed to chart in over 50 different countries, and yeah, it's totally amazing. And yeah, just thank you really for supporting the podcast. It's been a privilege to be chatting away with all these amazing people with you guys. So yeah, thanks. So for 2019, whilst we're on the subject of New Year's and whatever, there's a lot going on this year generally. We've got the Euro Indoors more imminently, along with the IAAF World Indoor Tour leading up to that. We have the World Cross Country Championships in Aarhus in Denmark at the end of March. We then have the Yokohama World Relays.
Oh, Ben, stop. There's too much.
I know. It's so exciting. Then we got the Diamond League properly kicking in. And then we round off the season nicely with Doha at the end of the year. What do you think about Doha literally being the last thing of the season?
I love it in Me some too. Ways. I just think there should be, I think, with a big championships, mm-hmm. something really sort of final about it. I don't think you necessarily should have to come back after that performance. It should be a crown and glory of a season, shouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think as well, sometimes when you have the big championship and then a week, 2 weeks later, there's that first meet and everybody is just dead on their feet and they can't.
And there's something slightly underwhelming. I know last season after the Europeans happened in Berlin, and for an athlete, for example, like Dina Asher-Smith, who then came back to the Birmingham Diamond League, a home competition for her, so much pressure on her shoulders, and then got beaten by Shawnee Miluwebo. And I think she was doing media all week and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure she didn't necessarily mind, and she then had the Continental Cup to go to after that. But there's something I felt, to me, her season maybe should have finished with the Europeans. She could then live on that hype and that momentum to take her into the next season.
Yeah.
So I think the World Championships, they could really benefit from having it at the end of the season. And then once you have all your media obligations and things like that, it's a bit easier. And also it means that the performances stick in people's minds a little bit more as well.
No, definitely. I think as well, having the Diamond League finish before the championships just makes a lot more logical sense. And, you know, you'll have your Diamond League champion, the ones who win, get an automatic wildcard selection for the World Championships in Doha, which is a game super exciting. And, you know, there's a lot of talk like, okay, it's really late compared to previous years. I mean, the World Champs went into September for Daegu in South Korea in 2011, I think, as well. Mm. You know, Sydney Olympics 2000, this isn't like the first time we've stretched this late. And you know, I guess it's about managing the season in a different way. I've heard a lot of positive chat about it, and I really think the World Championships in Doha are going to be so exciting.
And we have to remember last season was a bit of an odd one because we had, for some of the athletes, Commonwealth Games so early.
Yeah.
That really tampered with people's indoor seasons.
Well, yeah.
You know, you didn't know when to start. At least here, it's very clear. You know what the big kind of global goal is going to be that year. So they can plan accordingly. I think, as you say, Diamond League winners get wild cards, but it also gives people who might not have performed as they would like in the Diamond Leagues another opportunity to kind of get something at the end of the season, which I think is nice.
Yeah, and also I want to touch on Aarhus and Yokohama. So Aarhus is going to be really exciting. You're going to be there.
I am indeed, as are you. Yeah. And it's on my birthday.
Yeah, no, Katie's already told me that I have to buy her a beer in Denmark.
Which probably cost you about £30.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Aarhus is going to be super exciting because the whole ethos of the event generally is we want to bring cross-country back to its roots. So super challenging course. I don't know if you're familiar with the course.
I have. You've got to run over buildings and run through tents with cheering fans, and there's sort of banking as well that they've got to run around on kind of an angle as well. I mean, I think it looks so interesting, unique, and just really, I've got no idea which way it's going to go. I know I was thinking about the other day, obviously the East African dominance that we've had in world cross country events over pretty much the last 30 years.
Yeah.
What this might turn out to produce is a sort of new type of runner, this kind of ultimate tough competitor. You know, the thing people love or potentially hate about cross country
is
the idea that,
yeah,
you know, on that one single course over three different days, you could produce very different races, different conditions, and ultimately different winners. And I think, you know, can the Africans now continue dominance? Are they able to adapt themselves to these new conditions and new obstacles and kind of challenges?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be almost like a party atmosphere, especially, I don't know if any of your listeners are familiar, but in the UK, in London, around May, they do the Night of 10Ks in London,
great
which is
event.
Basically, they use it as the British trials for the championships. And it's a great event, and they have these huge tents going up and down the track, with like everybody's drinking and there's music and, you know, it's a real party vibe. And I feel like it's kind of going to go that way with Aarhus for a section of the course. And then they're climbing, they're literally going to be running up the top of a museum. And then back down again, they're going to do a muddy section. It sounds really, really fun. So,
yeah. And also, Ben, interesting to point out that I think part of the reason they want to push this new cross-country event is that ultimately they want to see it back in the Olympics. We saw it debuted in the Youth Olympics last year. If it was brought back in, I think this is really nice. It would be in the Paris 2024 Olympics, and it would also mark exactly 100 years since it last appeared in the Olympics in Paris in 1924.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
a good
that
fact.
Would actually be quite a sort of nice, rounded kind of, this has worked, let's see it back. So, yeah, I think kind of any athletics fan would want to see it back on the Olympic program. I think what Seb Coe and the organizers in Aarhus are really trying to do is like appeal to a new audience, like maybe younger viewers, ones who aren't so bothered about track and field, or they sort of see it as a maybe quite
just the more the extreme side of
exactly
the sport. Yeah.
And I
think it'll be a brilliant event. Speaking of IWF events, also Yokohama, there's been a few weeks ago, the new events that are taking place.
Yes, what do you think of these?
So
absolute chaos.
I honestly think that, I think the 2x2x400...
Yeah, we should explain the new events, actually, shouldn't we?
Yeah, okay, so the 2x2x400 is basically one man and one woman. I've heard it been described as a recovery relay as well, so this kind of might make it a bit clearer. One man, one woman per nation take it in turns to run a 400 metres twice. And so they'll be covering 1,600 metres total, 800 metres each. And I think it will actually be a really interesting event. We've never seen anything like that. And the IWF World Relays is generally like a low stakes competition, and it's a perfect opportunity to try these things out, just so, because, you know, we need to have more, like, I generally think in this sport we have a lot of competitive high quality competition, and sometimes it's nice to just debut different
try
fun
something
events.
Else and I love the idea, like, what tactics would you go for in that? Would you get a 400 specialist and just hopefully they cane it over both legs. Would you get an 800 meter runner who could sort of produce something more consistent?
I think Donovan Brazier was talking about it at the World Indoor Meet in Boston, mm-hmm. and he said something about how a 400 meter runner is not the right person to do this.
Because, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think 800 meters, and I'll tell you who, from Kenya, Emmanuel Correa, who's like can run a sub 45 400 meters
that
easy, but he's also one of the best 800 meter runners in the world. I think he would be amazing at this. Also, Caster again.
Oh, Caster's ultimate
literally
at this, wouldn't she?
And there's so many.
David Rudisha would do something cool on that.
I mean, if he gets back into form as
that would be the concern, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he would be also be a great addition to that kind of race. And then we've also got the hurdles. We've also got the hurdles shuttle relay. What do you think about that? I mean, yeah, again, to explain it, it's basically one man, one woman. No, sorry, two men, two women. And then you're kind of running. So the men will start off. There'll only be four teams per race. The men will start running down the 100 metres straight. Then they hand over, but they don't hand over any baton. Basically, the women are lined up at the opposite end of the straight, ready to run the opposite direction again in the adjacent lane next to the one that came down. It sounds really complicated to describe, but
I love the sound of it. I'm so intrigued because I can't really picture how clear. I can imagine a little bit of carnage and potentially a lot of hurdles everywhere.
Yeah, they do it in the US quite a lot. It's quite a common race within the US, especially at college meets, that kind of thing, where all like the Drake relays and all that kind of stuff. So the Americans in particular are familiar, and I honestly cannot see anybody beating the Americans.
No, absolutely not. I'm excited about it, though. I think, as you say, it's familiar in America. I think for a lot of other people, it'll be nice to see something new. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it brings out a new side of potentially training then. They can go back and say, right, these are some things that we've learned from doing these kinds of events that we can then take into further things.
Well, it's just giving different people the opportunity to compete in these kind of events. Like the hurdlers, they never really get an opportunity to run a hurdles relay, so why not?
And there are some nations that just come out in relays and do astonishing things when the individuals themselves might not necessarily be kind of medal contenders in mm-hmm. individual events. So it's nice that we might see some nations kind of come from nowhere and do some special things in these crazy events.
Definitely. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to in terms of World Athletics Series events this year. Just generally, 2019 results, as we said, they've all started rolling in again. It's really exciting.
It has suddenly felt like it's come from nowhere, hasn't
it? This weekend, like particularly, it was like, woo! But probably the World Indoor Tour starting. You had the meeting in Paris where Shoes Fabrice Zango set a new African triple gem record, which was amazing. 17:58. I believe before that, it was like 17:23. So he added a huge amount on there. Yeah. So yeah, really well done to him. Also, there's been some crazy high jumping from some of the Ukrainian ladies.
It's just so exciting that Lasitskini might have a bit of competition this
year. That is what I was going to say. So, basically, the world under-18 champion from 2017, her name is Yaroslava Mahuchik. I'm so sorry, I definitely said that name wrong. But she jumped 199 at the weekend, which is huge for an under-20 athlete, which is obviously astonishing in a competition with another Ukrainian, Katerina Tabashnik, also on 199. Morgan Lake also jumped 197. So there's a lot of athletes now. I think Yulia Levchenko jumped 198. There's a lot going on in the women's high jump.
And we can't forget Lasitskini is also still doing good things. She jumped 201.
Again.
So it's really nice to see that there's going to be some competition there, especially in a championship year.
Yeah, I feel like there was parts of last year where Lasitskini got bored because she was just so good.
Yeah. Right?
But I think there's other athletes as well who are round about, if they nail it, they could bring it to her as well. So Elena Valotogara of Italy, who also jumped
PB last year.
Yeah, she jumped over 2 metres as well. There's also Nafi Tiam, who also jumped over 2 metres. So you never know what on earth she's going to do.
Johnson-Thompson as well is
also
potentially
a really useful high jumper. Who I think, did she come fourth or fifth at the World Champs in 2017? Yeah. Again, yeah.
And
really
could have potentially got a gold medal in Rio as well.
Yeah, didn't her and Nafi jumped higher than the winning height in Rio? So,
and I love that I feel like, women's high jump has always been a really popular event. And the last couple of years, not that it's lost popularity, but it's lost that sort of competitive element mm-hmm. so much, or the jumps have been not as high as we'd like to see. So it's just really nice that those is kind of coming back. Yeah.
It's really fun. On another note, it just made me laugh. Carsten Warholm won.
Yes, this is great.
Won the Carsten Warholm Invitational. He had an event named after himself, and obviously he had to win the event too. So yeah, he won the 400 meters there in 45:56, which is actually a pretty useful time indoors, yes. especially as an opener.
Very
he beat
decent.
Pavel Maslak as well, who has won God knows how many
everything
world
indoor
400 meter titles, European and global. So, yeah.
And I think Warholm needed it because he is going to have his work cut out for him this season outdoors with
Samba, yeah.
Samba with
Rye Benjamin. Who I think he's going to do really big things this year. He's honestly, he'll have his work cut out to get a medal because there's Karen McMaster as well. It's a really exciting group. The men's four hurdles, women's high jump are going to be super exciting
Classic
this
events,
year.
Yeah.
On the subject as well, just a word on Grant Holloway and his crazy exploits in January so far. So,
tell me more.
So he's a hurdle specialist. He's from the States. And he set a world-leading 7:49 60-meter hurdles time. He also ran the 200 meters last week too. He ran 20.69 over 200 meters indoors. This week, he decided to do some long jump. He jumped 8 meters and 2. And then he did a flat 60 metres and has run a world-leading 6:51. What on earth is going on?
Do you know what's screaming in my head, Ben?
What?
Decathlon?
We have to see if he can throw. I mean, he has got a useful high jump personal best of 2 metres and 16. And he's run a relay leg of 43:88 in the 4x4 outdoors.
It's incredible, isn't it? And I like the slightly random nature of some of these events. It just kind of sounds like the kind of guy who wakes up and goes, oh, what shall I try today?
Yeah,
and then gets a world leading time.
I really think he should consider the decathlon. I mean, I feel
pole
like
vault could be an interesting one. I don't know how much
separates the men from the boys. That one.
Done.
But yeah, an amazing athlete, and I'm excited to see how he progresses this year.
I think in general, it's fair to say the American college system is just producing more and more exciting talent every year.
But yeah, for any more updates on results and that kind of thing, you can head to IAAF.org for all your athletics needs.
Everything you ever need, it will be there.
Literally, I promise you. Okay, so let's get to the point. Boston. Boston, the World Indoor Tour kicked off in Boston last weekend. What was your highlight?
It would have to be Yoav Kojelcha in the men's mile. Ran a fantastic 3:51 indoor Ethiopian record.
Yeah.
First meet of the season. I think that's pretty incredible. You never really know what sort of form people are going to come out with first season. Obviously been through intense training across the winter. We obviously see a lot of world leading times in Boston every year, but it's not really a good judge of necessarily what's going to be there at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But I think hugely impressive from him. I was saying to you before, I mean, we've talked about that men's 5,000 meter Diamond League final last season quite
Simon
a few
Borrega.
Times
yeah.
with Borrega. Another hugely exciting talent for this 2019 season. But
I'm
I think
so young, like he is still so young.
He's 18, I think.
I think
he's
18, maybe 19 now.
Yeah.
But his he was nominated for Male Rising Star.
He was, and he's phenomenal. He ran the fourth fastest time ever in the men's 5,000 to win
the Diamond
that
League.
Diamond League title.
He didn't even realize he was going that fast as well, which is nuts.
But what I think is interesting is obviously Kojelcha came in second behind him. I think he's really going to feel like he's got something to prove this year, because I think for a while he was sort of the new boy on the scene, obviously very young as well. He was this sort of leggy young teenager who kind of hit the scene so fast but hasn't quite hit the sort of senior top level yet in terms of gold medals.
Well, he hasn't got any outdoor gold medals. I mean, he won the World Youths in 2013. He won World Juniors, and he came fourth in London in 2017.
Yes, but my point being, Borrega's coming in and suddenly challenging his place of
making
the new
him step up.
Yeah. So yeah, long story short is I think that will be very interesting to watch.
I agree. I think my highlight. <Move on. laughs> I think another highlight for me was probably the women's pole vault competition. It's really, really nice to see Katie Najot step up again. I mean, she's a great vaulter and had a fantastic year last year, but now she's consistently winning. She jumped 4 meters 86, beating Katerina Stefanidi, which is quite something to do. She's an Olympic, world, European champion.
Definitely, and for her, not even necessarily being the US number one, because you've got Sandy Morris in contention as well.
Yeah.
I think the women's pole vault could be another fascinating year, couldn't it? Because Stefanidi didn't win the world indoor title last year. That went to Sandy Morris, didn't it?
So, and then the Sidorova you got to throw into.
Yes.
The women's pole vault in Karlsruhe on Saturday is going to be mental. Loads of the top people are there. I don't think Morris is there, but Sidorova is there, Stefanidi is there, Najat will be there. Loads of the top athletes will be competing in that meet, and that is going to be so exciting. So if you keep your eyes peeled for any event, it's the women's pole vault. On a side note, there was the debut of Sydney McLaughlin, which there was a lot of noise going into the meet about her. Obviously, she recently signed with New Balance in this, you know, huge new deal, which is amazing for her. And she's
her first pro race. Yeah.
And I was, you know, I saw some like kind of negative stuff about the fact that she's not, she did a 500 metres. There was a lot of strange distances at the meet. There was the 300, a 500, 600.
Yeah, that was quite bizarre.
But yeah, she did a 500 metres, and there was a lot of criticism about the fact that she didn't face a really high-level field. And, you know, she's 19 years old. It's her first debut race indoors. Like, cut her some slack. At least
is that what you think then? It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because she has had so much hype around her. She's going to be a phenomenal athlete. The kind of performances
she's
run
a world
already.
Leader last year.
So should she have come out on her first debut pro race and run against some really, really good other world-class runners and not been scared to lose that first race? Or do you think it was really important for her to win?
I don't even think, I mean, she won by a mile, like, let's be real. But I don't think it's that deep in terms of,
do you think it's something we should judge at the end of the season rather than
definitely.
The beginning?
Like, at least let her get going, let her run her first race. Loads of athletes open their season at like random rinky-dink meets around the world or whatever. Not that Boston is in no way that, but loads of athletes don't go hell for leather right at the start. They have a season opener, a quiet season opener somewhere else. They might run slightly different distances. You think of Usain Bolt always used to do a 400 metres in Jamaica really early in the season just to kind of get himself going, which obviously isn't a 100 or a 200 metres, and it's not against the best competition in the world.
We also don't necessarily know how much of it was her choice, because you think most athletes want to race against the best in the world because they back themselves and it's the best test for them, isn't it? And it'll be the best feeling afterwards. You're competitive by nature. You want to be ahead of everyone else. So I wonder if it could potentially be more of a kind of her sponsors wanted something.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get invited to the event you get invited to, you know, so that is just the way it is. Depends what your manager's saying and all this kind of other stuff. So she's done it. The race is done. She won it by a mile. I guess let's see where it goes.
So yeah, and I guess taking away from that gives her confidence to go into the next one. So I think we're all very excited to see what she's going to produce over the season, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. Other final notes, somebody else who really impressed me, and I actually only caught on to her at the end of last year, is Maggie Ewan of the US. She won the shot put with a world lead of 19:28. But she's also not just good at the shot put, she's also amazing in the hammer and amazing in discus too. She's a triple threat. And I remember in at the Monaco Diamond League, they did the shot put on the port the day before, which they kind of do sometimes at some of the Diamond League meetings. And I remember seeing Maggie there, and I didn't really know that much about her, but she was really big on the NCAA side of things. And it was her first Diamond League, I believe. And I was chatting to Valerie Adams afterwards, and she was saying, because I was asking her, who's the future for you in this event? And she said, Maggie Ewan.
I don't think you could get more higher kind of knowledge and praise than that.
So yeah, Maggie Ewan, watch out for her in 2019. Away from Boston, just previewing the rest of the tour. As I said before, Karlsruhe is going to be amazing.
And you're going to be out there, aren't you?
I will be there. I'm really excited because it will be my first meet of the year. So excited to get back. And just the indoors is always just really exciting. It's such a great atmosphere. I mean, it was the Birmingham World Indoor Championships last year was so amazing. So I'm really excited to get back in the indoor.
Something so intense of being inside as well.
I know, it was the noise. Yeah, it was brilliant. And yeah, so you can also watch Karlsruhe, Dusseldorf and Turin on the IAAF website and YouTube. But yeah, so you can watch those meets live. So make sure you tune in to watch the Karlsruhe meeting on Saturday. It's going to be pretty fantastic. During the off-season, a lot of athletes did get up to some interesting things, and I want to talk about athletics generally crossing over into the mainstream. So at the end of last year, well, it was around September, I think, Katarina Johnson-Thompson, Dina Asher-Smith, English Gardner, Katarina Barguen, some of the best female athletes in our sport, they walked at Paris Fashion Week. It was for the Off-White Fashion Show, and yeah, it's really amazing seeing stuff like that happen. And then at Fashion Week, 6 months later, so Noah Lyles and Tori Bowie both walked in Paris Fashion Week again. And as well as that, Alexandra Vester of Germany, she walked in Berlin Fashion Week too. And like, it's so great to see athletes from the sport venturing into other things, being celebrated, that those body types being celebrated in the fashion world.
Absolutely. I think the fashion industry has, you know, for years now has been under pressure of promoting things that are potentially unachievable for most people, you know, almost promoting negative or damaging body mm-hmm. images. Now, I think they've really locked onto the fact of what they can get out of athletics, out of athletes. What is seen now as really desirable is a healthy body. And I think it's so exciting that they have realised what these kind of global superstars can do for them, and they're not 6 foot tall necessarily, skinny and you know, everything you'd
all
expect.
Shapes and sizes, but just healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. And on the other aspect, I think it can do really great things for athletics. As you say, it's nice to see the crossover, but for people like Noah Lyles, who is really quite a character, is potentially one of the up and coming new sort of characters after the Usain Bolt era.
Yeah,
I think this is great to get him out there. Maybe not that many people who aren't athletics fans know the name Noah Lyles yet, mm-hmm. but I think they will soon, especially if he's doing things like this, going out there. He's really different. I think it's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I know, it reminded me of a friend of mine. He was reading Dazed magazine, which is really big in the UK. I'm not sure how big it is internationally, but they're more of a kind of left-field alternative magazine with like music, arts, culture, that kind of thing. And Morgan Lake and Dina Asher-Smith actually did a feature. They did a photo shoot with it. And he read through that and he was like, oh, these girls are actually really cool. And obviously, when you twig to names, he said he saw something on Twitter about the European Championships, Dina being there, and then he actually watched it for the first time, mm-hmm. watched the athletics, saw Dina dominate in the 100 and 200, and was like, wow, that's amazing. And that's how these things can happen, by crossing over into other fields, other industries. It's really, really fun to see. And on the subject of Dina, again, she was asked to be a part of Stormzy's Elle magazine spread, which was amazing. For those of you who aren't familiar, Stormzy is a grime rap artist in the UK, but he's really big. He's got nearly 2 million followers on Instagram, and having something like that, and he selected something like 10 people from the UK to be a part of this spread feature with him. And this is just, again, great exposure for the sport. Like, these brilliant athletes are being recognised for their achievements, but within other industries. And I'd just love to see more and more of it, really.
Also, what's interesting is, for someone like, I know Dina's spoken to us before about, I mean the media in general, about how having a social media following now, she used to not really understand how important that was. So she would, you know, she said, oh, I used to post pictures of my food because I thought that was interesting. And then she realised, you know, I do have a bearing on what other people kind of perceive me as, or you know, I'm a role model now, aren't I?
Yeah.
You know, as weird as that is, it's something you have to take quite seriously. And now she's doing things like this, as you say, different and exciting, but also really important for them to be doing. And in this world we live in, it sounds like such a cliche, where social media is, you know, the main form of kind of influence mm-hmm. now, I think it has to be done.
Yeah, definitely. And what a brilliant role model she is. You know, so articulate, intelligent, and just really, really fast.
So, yeah, really and, driven, yeah. Yeah.
And I think she's an amazing role model for just anybody as a person. Yeah. That's a good person. So,
Dina, queen.
Yeah, and I think she's on for a big 2019 as well. It's really exciting to see what she does. Yeah, moving away from pop culture. Well, actually kind of still pop culture. Award shows. Laura's is coming around again, as it does every year.
No, Ben, you startle me.
Yeah, so there's Athletics has fortunately made it into the nomination list again.
I love it when this happens.
Yeah, so Eliud Kipchoge, he is nominated for the Men's Sportsman of the Year.
And there's just no way he couldn't have been included.
Yeah, I mean, you break the marathon world record, like the oldest event in the books. You've got to be in it. He's up against some great competition: Lewis Hamilton, Novak Djokovic, Kylian Mbappe, Luka Modric, LeBron James. So what a great.
And it just fills me with such pride as an athletics fan that people respect how ridiculous it is to break a marathon world record, to be that close to running below two hours for a marathon.
Can you imagine 2 minutes?
You're pretty impressive.
Your legs would definitely fall off.
But
it's great seeing him being talked in the same sentence as some of those, you know, these guys are super international stars. Kipchoge is an international star, but maybe not as appreciated as much as the likes of Mbappe or whatever. So, yeah, great.
But also, it's nice, isn't it, to sort of see these awards grounded in... He isn't necessarily, as you say, you know, people like Lewis Hamilton has been through his controversies over the years. He's not necessarily the most loved... He's a bit of a Marmite character. It's probably the easiest
way to
say it.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Yep.
It's nice to see Kipchoge, who is just clearly such a great guy.
Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely
nice,
man.
Grounded, yeah. Humble man, is on that list and is being recognised. That just makes me very warm inside.
And then, for the Breakthrough of the Year nominees, we've got two athletics contenders in there. We've got Jakob Ingebrigtsen and Brianna Williams, who we'll be chatting to later in the show.
Just on a side note, what do you think of Jakob Ingebrigtsen making it in?
I mean, I think he has had a breakthrough this year. I was talking to a colleague, and obviously both Brianna and Jakob were beaten to the Rising Star Award at the awards by Sydney and Mondo. And I was like, should Sydney and Mondo not be there?
But then
they were right. They said, yeah, but did they really break through this year? Sydney kind of broke through in Rio 2016 when she first burst onto the scene. And then Mondo, he's been around for quite a while.
I feel like
now.
Mondo did make a breakthrough this year in terms of his senior presence and what he did at the European.
Yeah, that's true.
When he went over 6 metres. It wasn't even breakthrough. That was just like, broken, I should be in the male nominee category.
Broken, I shattered, I am here.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree, but that was how it was phrased to me, and I was like, okay, maybe Jakob kind of came from like an unknown territory last year to he is here. Similarly, kind of with Brianna as well.
I would never dispute. I think Brianna Williams, fantastic, and especially, but it's a sort of a youth level thing. I don't think she's necessarily broken through because she hasn't come up into the senior ranks. Yeah, maybe you're right then. I rest my case.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there were some interesting nominees in the breakthrough category, like Geraint Thomas got nominated, and I was for the breakthrough, and he's kind of, I don't know how old he is, he's definitely...
Oh, in his 30s,
yeah,
isn't he?
And he also
won... Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's been around for years. That is an odd choice.
I was like, maybe for the Sportsman of the Year one, but I just thought it was a bit strange that he was... Because, you know, these two are 16, and I don't know, it's a bit random, but I don't really know how Laura's do it, but yeah, it's great to see them in there regardless.
Absolutely.
Brianna, she's had an amazing 2018, and, you know, she's spoken to me about the fact that she wants to go to Doha. She's having to, we were asking her whether she'd do the world relays, and she was like, I absolutely would love to do them, but I can't get it off school. So she wants to do that because she wants to do Doha, that also clashes with school, so she can't do both.
She's got to pick one.
So fair enough, picking the world championships.
Yeah.
She wants to make the final, she wants to get a medal, she's super ambitious.
I love it, and she's only 16.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, the, you know, these nominees are had definitely confirmation that there are some really exciting talents coming through. She's run some unbelievable times to be only 16.
Yeah, what was particularly special was when she ran 22.5 in the World Under 20s. She'd never broken 23 seconds before.
To go half a second.
Yeah, I know. It's like unheard of, isn't it? But that's the kind of improvements you can make when you're that young. It's, amazing to see. And she's such a... vibrant, really friendly girl, and I hope you guys enjoy my chat with her. So you were actually born in the US, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but your mother is Jamaican.
Yes, she is.
So how did you come to the decision to represent Jamaica?
Watching my mom would always turn on the TV during Olympic time. I would watch them, Usain Bolt. And I said, okay, I want to be like them when I grow up, because I used to do a lot of other sports, like gymnastics, tennis, ballet. Mm-hmm. But I just want to run track. I'd run for Jamaica. When I got serious about it, I was like, oh yeah, maybe I want to be in the Olympics and run for Jamaica like Usain Bolt and Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you've got idols like that, yes. Why would you not want to run for Jamaica? So did you go back to Jamaica often?
Yes.
Yeah, so do you have other family there as well?
Yes, I do.
So you spend much time there growing up?
My first time going was I was about 3 months old. So I was growing up the Jamaican way, even in Florida. It's really fun being there, especially the view and the mountains and going to the beach like every day.
Mm-hmm. So what was it specifically that drew you to track and field?
I think my cousin and I were just sitting on the bed. She's like, oh, I want to run track. I was like, okay, me too. And I was thinking about it. So I was like, oh, wow, maybe it looks fun. Maybe I could hopefully be like that person, that specific person on TV. So.
Did you ever realize, at that point, did you know you were fast already?
No, I think I noticed it when I won my first Junior Olympics in Texas. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I want to continue with this.
No, you have a pretty famous coach, and it's quite well known that you are coached by Atto Bolden.
Yes.
And is he set up in Florida with you?
Yes, he is.
So tell me how that happened, because that's a really interesting story.
I think, because we were practicing on the same track that he designed, and he was there, and I was running for my Optimist team, my city, and I think my mom noticed him, and I was like, oh, that's Otto Bolden. Awesome that? And
did you know who he was?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't really in that top of track yet. So, but she was talking to him and was like, you know, my daughter, she wants to be like a track star like you. And I think that's where he took on coaching, and then he took on Khalifa Singh Fort. So
did he take on you first and then Khalifa?
I think we went up to him first. I think that's how it went. Yeah, if I have.
So are you the first athlete he's coached ever?
I think it was like me and Khalifa and I first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, clearly it's going well.
Yes.
So how long have you been working together?
Since I was about 13, 14 years old.
Yeah. That's crazy. Since working with Atto, you've had a pretty successful career so far. So you've competed a lot at the Charifta Games, and you won 3 gold medals as well. So a lot of people, because this is an international podcast, so a lot of people listen from around the world. Explain what Charifta is, just to those who don't know.
Okay, Charifta is a track meet that's hosted every year around March, April in the Caribbean, and only Caribbean athletes can run in it. Last year was Bahamas. 2019 is going to be in Cayman Islands. So it's a beautiful track meet. I love it very much. That was my first in 2017 in Curacao. That was my first international track meet.
Okay.
Especially running for Jamaica.
How was that?
It was really fun. Seeing the other athletes, the young stars, just seeing what track even is more outside of the US.
Yeah. Having it as your a first international track meet, it must be quite daunting, especially as how old were you when you first did that?
I was 9.
You were 9?
I was 9.
Oh my god, so you were pretty good from a young age
then.
That's amazing. So So at Quifter Games, was it in 2017 when you won the three golds?
No,
first time,
I got bronze in the 100 meter, and then we ran the relay, but we got first, but and we broke the record, but we got disqualified because I think third leg went into the other lane, got disqualified.
Okay, so did you win? Was it this year when you?
Yes, in Bahamas.
So tell me about that then.
That was really fun. That was my second time representing them. It could have been my third, but last year I couldn't go to Kenya because of my age. But Bahamas was really fun, a great experience, going to a new country. And first off, winning the gold in the 100 meter because I broke the record for that track meet, I think. Yeah. And the 200 got a new personal best. And the relay, I think I got a record as well. Yeah.
All in a day's work.
Yeah.
So you said that you could have gone to Nairobi for the World Under 18 Championships to represent Jamaica, and you couldn't go because you were too young.
I was too young. If I was turning 17, no, 16, I think it was, 16 in December, I could have went, but I was saying 16 in March the next year, so I couldn't go.
Oh, well, we saved it the best to last for this year. So this year was a pretty big year for you. So at 16 years of age, you were racing Olympic champion Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce and Elaine Thompson. Tell me about that.
You know, when my coach told me I was going to race this Grand Prix, I was like, me? What? I was like, wow, so I'm going to run against my idols. And, you know, I didn't think of it like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a lot of pressure. I was thinking about having fun because, yeah, I have nothing to lose. I'm just go out there and do what my coach told me to do, try to get there and get a PB. But it was a great experience to run against next to my idols.
And what is the Races Grand Prix? Is it a bigger? It's in Jamaica, right?
Yes, it's international. A lot of U.S. athletes come around the world, seeing many different pro athletes, meeting them, taking pictures of them. It was a great experience for my first, I guess I can say, pro meet. Yeah, it was really fun.
Wow. And did Shelly-Ann or Elaine give you any advice or chat to you afterwards?
Yes, I met them before. You know, they always tell me to, you know, stay focused and work hard, remain humble.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, I mean, after that, so that was at the start of this year. Heading into 2018, you obviously had the World Under 20 Championships.
Yes.
This time, you were old enough to compete.
Yes.
So tell me about how the build-up to that went and whether you had any specific goals in mind.
I trained extra hard for that. You know, I was thinking hopefully I could get a 10.9, but if not, I'm still grateful with my time. I'm just glad that I went out there and won, because, you know, I was thinking about it all year, because I think it was in May I saw that, you know, the Tony Shatiri, who I was going to run against, she ran 10.9, so I was like, oh wow, I've never even run 10.9 in my life, and that's going to be really hard. But I remember that I ran with the pros, and I've experienced that type of speed, so I just, you know, stuck into my lane and was just training extra hard, hopefully to get near that time.
So obviously going into it, you were one of the favorites with Tanisha Terry, and in the semi-final, Tanisha, she ran something like 11.03.
And I was like, I never even ran that before. I didn't get worried, but I was like, okay, that's gonna be great because I'll have a rival in my my race, and you know, she's gonna push me to run extra hard, better time. So
yeah, and how did you channel that for the final? Because I remember speaking to Atto on the Tribune during your final, and he said, I've never seen a coach so confident in nothing, like, she's going to win. And, I said, but Tanisha just ran 11 dead. He was like, no, Brianna will still win this.
I know, that came out of his mouth. He's like, Brianna, you're going to win. If you stuck to my plan, then you will win. Okay. So yeah, I stuck to his plan.
And did you believe it as
I had some doubts. I was like, I don't know. I'm still tiny, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. But I was like, you know, maybe I can win.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're very humble right now.
Thank you.
On the start line, you kind of as you're almost like a different person. You're like, you laser focus. You were kind of just completely professional in the zone.
Yes.
When you are on the start line, is that how you feel? Do you just kind of block out everything else?
I think I can say that, yeah. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have to really run. Like, I feel like all athletes think of that. Like, when you're on your blocks, you're like, oh my gosh, I have to go and do this. So, yeah.
So, you obviously went on to win gold in the 100 metres in Tampere. And then following that, you had the 200 metres. So, there was... Had you gone sub-23 before?
No. That was my first time.
That was crazy. So, you were... There was an American girl, I think it was Lauren Williams.
Yes, it was Lauren, yeah.
Yeah, who was started as probably the favourite because she ran...
22.5,
yeah. And obviously... 22.5 to never break in 23 before. Mm-hmm. That's quite a big difference.
Yes.
So did you think the 200 metres was maybe... Were you just happy with a medal, do you think, or...?
I was really happy because, like, cross... I remember I was just running and I got off the turn. I was looking at the Jumbotron. I was like, I'm really in first. And I was looking at the time, like, 10 metres before I had the finish line. I was like, I'm about to run 22. And I crossed and it was 22.50. I was so happy because I didn't think I was going to run 22.5. I thought I was going to run like 22.8 or 9. But
crazy. And at that point, Atto fully lost his mind, screaming. Because I don't think anybody expected, I mean, half a second to drop, over half a second.
I don't think anyone expected that either. I didn't expect it. So that's why I was, I think I can say that was my favorite race.
Yeah.
It shocked me a lot.
I mean, your face across the finish line. Those photos are amazing. You just, couldn't believe it. So, along with that, Atto did actually go on to present your medal to you, didn't he?
Yes,
how was that?
It was really fun. I was like, I hope my coach can present the medal to me because he did it with Khalifa. And I was like, oh, hey, maybe he can do it with me too. So I was really happy because it was precious moment.
Yeah. So, you said to me earlier that Tampere was actually your first time in Europe.
Yes.
So, how did you find coming to Europe for that first time? I mean, Finland as well.
Yes. One of my favorite places, you know, and I'd stop in London, and I was like, I haven't been over this side before, so it was really fun. Different atmosphere, and it's just so nice and warm welcoming.
So you went to London after Tampere?
No, just to fly through.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you can stop for longer next time.
Yes.
So, for the future, obviously you had tremendous success this year, and next year is a really big year. We've got the World Relay Championships coming up in Yokohama. Is that on your radar?
It is on my radar, but I think I have school. I don't think my coach is going to allow me to miss school, but I would personally love to go there. Because I think my teammate did it. She went, I think, no, I'm not sure.
Khalifa,
did she go to World Relays? I don't think so.
They were in the Bahamas last year, so it was in the Bahamas. Easier,
that's why. If it was in the Bahamas, then I would have, I would have planned to go. But it's all the way in Japan. I'm going to miss a lot of days at school. Because next year, I'm going to be missing a lot of school due to Doha.
Yeah.
So I have to save those days.
So you just mentioned Doha.
Yeah.
So that is in the plans then?
Yeah, it's in the plans. Every day, my coach is like, okay, this many more months till Doha. And we're like, okay, coach. So, yeah, Doha is one of my plans. And I'll hopefully be one of the youngest finalists there.
So, what is how do you go about qualifying for Doha as a Jamaican athlete?
Going there, I know I'm going to be maybe the youngest, other young athletes might step up and go to the trials as well, but I know what races I want to do, what I want to, like the 100, I want to be one of the youngest finalists, hopefully, possibly the 200, that's going to be like extra hard, but I'm ready for it, and the 4x1 as well.
Yeah, well, the 4x1 is also a really great goal,
because
I think that I don't think you were in the race, but in the heats, your team dropped the baton in Tampere.
I was watching it, so I was like, oh no, I can't get a third medal.
Oh, well, I mean, two is still pretty great anyway.
Yeah,
still. So with Doha on the horizon, let's say you do qualify. What's the goal for Doha?
The goal, be in the finals, hopefully, If I can make top 3, that would just be, like, shocking to me because I'm running against all the, you know, famous pros, and you're just like, wow, only me at 17. I'll be 17 next year. So I'm like, only me at 17 making the world championship finals in the 100.
Do you have any idols at the moment in women's sprinting?
Yes, Shelly-Ann Fraser, she came back, and Elaine Thompson.
Yeah, fellow Jamaicans.
Yes.
Cool. Well, Brianna, best of luck the next year. It's going to be a big year for you. And then Tokyo is on the horizon as well. So 18 years old in Tokyo, that would be quite a story. Anyways, thank you very much
for chatting
to me. And yeah, hope to see you soon.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, that is all we have time for on this week's episode of the IAAF Inside Athletics podcast. I've had a lot of fun again, and Katie,
it's been here.
Yeah, literally, it's been great to have you back, and hopefully we have you back for many more episodes this year.
Yes, absolutely.
If you want your athletics fix between now and the next podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at IAAF_athletics or on Twitter at IAAF.org or on Facebook at the World Athletics Club. I've been Ben Harlow. You can follow me on Twitter at _BenHarlow. And Katie?
I'm at K_CroydonSmith.
So, guys, as always, leave your comments on iTunes or Spotify. I don't think you can comment on Spotify, but you can listen on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Radio Public. So if you can comment anywhere,
please do. Looking for feedback.
Yeah.
And if there's any athletes that you go, I absolutely have to hear something from them, always happy to chase them down.
Yeah, please let us know, because we will genuinely
literally run after them. We will not catch them, but we do
try. or you can DM us on Twitter, so either way. Please rate us and review generally, because it does help us out a lot. And subscribe. So yeah, that's all we have time for this week, but yeah, I hope you all have a lovely, I don't know, we'll be back again at the end of February, so have a lovely month,
enjoy the athletic season kicking off.
We'll be back with a preview of the Euro Indoors, reflecting on the World Indoor Tour, and looking forward to Aarhus and the World Cross Country Championships. So yeah, have an amazing athletics filled month, and you'll see us very, very soon.
Bye.
Or hear us soon, sorry.
Yeah.
Hear us. Okay,
you don't
bye
want to see us.